Contact Sports Exchange, episode number 138. And the New York Knicks. I almost forgot what I was going to say, because I'm so excited. The New York Knicks going to the second round. Oh yeah, baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. The Garden is Eden. Rangers play Sunday. Knicks play Monday. Speaking of hockey, I'm so sorry.
I did not take it well, Stan. I cannot lie to you. I did not take it well.
What did you even do?
The game ended. I went for like an hour and a half, 2 hour walk. And then I bought like $30 worth of beef jerky and just ate all of it and was just sick to my stomach and just sat and watched highlights. And then I woke up the next morning at like 5:30 and I watched Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck highlights, and I was getting a little emotional because it's probably the last time I'll see those two play in an Islanders jersey. So it definitely like wasn't. Yeah, I mean, Matt Martin. No, wait. Human being. Yeah, Matt Martin's definitely not getting re-signed. And I don't know if Cal Clutterbuck's coming back either. I've been watching those guys since I was like 10 years old. I have Matt Martin's like AHL bobblehead signed from when he was like a rookie down there. I have his rookie NHL card. I watch 800 games with these dudes in Islanders uniforms. It sucks that we couldn't get it done for them. And that series just, ugh. How many unlucky bounces can a team fucking get? I mean, are you serious? How many times is a puck going to shoot out in front of the net? I don't know. It could have went either way a lot of the games, but when it came down to it, we just couldn't finish. We couldn't hold on to leads. And, oh, that sucked. That sucked.
All right. There's our Islander recap. Rangers win the series. I believe this is our first episode.
Yes. Since...
Yes, it is. So they'll take on the Hurricanes.
NBA, it wasn't a shock.
It wasn't, yeah. I mean, I was very pessimistic by saying it was going to go to five. But that was refreshing. It was very, very refreshing. Let's dive right into it. The Rangers defeat the Capitals. Realistically, because I know if I give like a stupid, but I'll give like a biased fan answer. So I'm asking you from a neutral perspective, how far can this team really go?
Well, it all really depends on this series right here. I mean, this is kind of the test that they've, you know, a lot of teams in the Metro have been thrown as who can get through the Carolina. Last year they made it to the Eastern Conference Final. They didn't get it done. I know this year they stacked up that team. I think, Stan, this series that the Rangers are going into is going to look, you know, definitely not like similar, not the same as the Islanders series, but it's definitely going to be similar. A lot of neutral zone clogged. You see when these two teams played in the regular season, what, last time they played, it came down to an overtime winner. It was a one-goal game or something like that. I think there's going to be a lot of that. Not a lot of high-scoring chances. It's really who's going to capitalize on their chances. And we saw what the Rangers did against the Capitals. Not a shock. Capitals stink. But look, Isles gave Carolina a tough series. I think the Rangers are going to do the same thing. I think realistically, if you're not seeing this going to six or seven, I don't know what the hell you think is going to happen. But this is going to go six or seven. And it's really going to come down to, you know, who could put the puck in the back net. Because right now you're going against the hottest goalie in the league. I mean, Frederik Andersen has a .950 save percentage since when he came back off injury like 2 months ago.
Igor's been pretty hot, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not doubting that. Varley was just as hot going to the playoffs, too. It's just, you're going against a tough team. I think it really comes down to this series. If they get out of this series, it's anyone's game. They can make the cup. Teams like Florida and teams like Boston, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm Metro biased, but it's just something with me. I don't see them getting it done. So it's really, for me, who comes out of this series is going to win. It sucks to say. It's going to win the Eastern Conference Final. Fucking sucks. You want my biased pick. They're losing in four games, but...
Fuck you.
Realistically, yeah, I think this goes to six or seven. You're going to hate me when I say this. I think Carolina takes it in seven, but I could see it going either way.
All right. Fair enough. We already recapped the Islanders. I mean...
I don't want to talk about that anymore. That sucked. God, Robert Bortuzzo, that guy can't... I mean, how the hell is that guy in the NHL? I know he made a couple extra diving plays to stop, you know, rushes in the net. You want to know why he made those diving plays? Because he's four fucking steps behind everyone else. How is this guy still employed? I mean, I had a tough time watching the regular season. We throw him out in the playoff series. He's getting burnt by everyone. Everyone. Oh.
That's a shame. Anyway, let's go to the games that are playing, the series that are still going on. First off, Vancouver, Nashville, Canucks lead 3-2, goes back to Nashville tonight. I seriously thought that Nashville was dead after losing those two games at home. Game four was something within itself. That was fucking insane.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got Nashville going home. Like we said earlier, I know they lost two at home, but it is really hard to play in Nashville. Let me ask you this, Stan.
Especially, you get three wins with three different goalies.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Stan. I know, the Canucks are rolling. Demko's been out. They've kind of rallied without their true netminder. But if Nashville does win this game tonight, it's really hard for me to see Vancouver go back home and win this series. It really is. If Nashville wins tonight, it's really hard for me to see Vancouver go home and win. That's kind of how I'm feeling, just because of the situation they were in. I mean, the Predators dropped two at home. Now they make it a 3-2 series going back and winning two in Vancouver. And now it's 3-2. Nashville wins at home, Stan. They can get it done in Vancouver. And it might just because Demko's, might for me, just because Demko's out. But I don't know. I just think, I don't know. I can't for me, if this goes back to Vancouver, see Vancouver come out on top.
Okay. I mean, I can see that, but just the way that they're playing right now has just been.
No, that's true.
They're able to get, if the depth has been stepping up, a lot of these third line, second line guys are scoring goals. Connor Garland's been red hot getting points. I know Besser had the hat trick in game five. They just find a way. In game three, too, they've somehow found a way to win that game. They only had 12 shots on net and still won the game.
Yeah, well,
this,
you know
this
what?
This team always finds a way. I think they find a way tonight.
You know what? That's my thing. What I was just going to bring up, that you brought up those shots on goals. They really haven't got over a crazy shot total on net here. You know, and then they won 4-3 with 20 shots on goal. Like you said, they won with 12 shots on goal. They lose game five. They had 21 shots on goal. I mean, Nashville's doing a really good job of keeping the chances low and the shots low. If they could do the same thing tonight and Saros just plays, you know, a decent, normal game, like I said, it's going to be hard for me to see Vancouver come out on top if they lose tonight.
All right. Tonight as well, Dallas has a chance to close, taking on Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. A spin. Jesus. I thought this was over. I truly thought this was over.
Tim, you were calling sweep.
It's now 3-2.
It's now 3-2. You were calling sweep, and now Dallas has a chance to win it on the road tonight. It seems like, again, they're just finding ways to win. Wyatt Johnston has been the hero of this team. Stud. He's older. I'm older than him. Right?
Yeah, I'm older than him too.
He's 20. Oh my god, what are we doing with our lives?
I know, dude. Stan, last night when I was at the Crunch game, half of the Amherst team was 05s. I mean, I was watching kids 2 years younger than me out there playing. Yeah, exactly.
God, we're getting to that age.
Yeah, where I start pulling up my huddle highlights. That was me back in the day.
Yeah, really. This is the best team in the Western Conference for a reason. And I think that the last thing that you want to see is to face the best team in the West while facing such adversity.
Yeah, I mean,
if you go down 2-0, losing both games at home, I don't know a team that can respond the way the Dallas Stars did by winning two straight on the road and then going back home and winning a pivotal game five. And now you get a chance to win the series tonight.
Yeah, and again, I may be wrong because I did call a sweep in this, and I've been pretty wrong about most of these series so far. So let's just, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But like I said with Nashville winning tonight, I don't see Vancouver coming out on top. I honestly, for me, it doesn't really matter either way this game goes. If Dallas goes home, I know they dropped two early in the series, but now they're up 3-2. They drop two back at home. They climb back, you know, take the series lead. If this goes to seven, Stan, it's already over for go to Vegas. I think they might.
Oh yeah, because Pete DeBoer is like undefeated in game sevens, right? He's Mr. Game Seven.
Yeah, and yeah, and I mean, and also I just, like, I think
remember,
it's a thing.
Remember when they played in the conference finals last year? I was like, I'm taking Vegas in 4, 5, or 6, because if it goes to seven, Pete DeBoer is Mr. Game Seven. Dallas is winning. Like, he's, yeah, like, and what is he, 8-0 in game sevens?
I mean, it's something like that. And I think it's also one of those things where they not checked out a little bit, but they're a little, you got to be a little defeated. I mean, you start up 2-0, then you drop two at home, you take two on the road, then you lose another one, you go, you know, go back to Dallas and lose one. Now you're going back home. It's, I don't know. It's not a good scene right there for them right now.
It's tough.
They have to win tonight. They don't have a choice. So we'll see what happens.
They don't have a choice. Season's over.
See if the Ike show can step up.
Let's go to the best series in this playoffs. This is real hockey. Like, I'm telling you right now, this is real hockey. Toronto and Boston is real hockey. And everyone thought that the Toronto Maple Leafs were dead. And then Austin Matthews is out. They're shouting matches on the bench. This isn't fucking juniors, all that. Austin Matthews sits game 5, sits game 6. All of a sudden, you blink and we're going to a game 7.
I love the script, Stan. I love the script. Boston in 7.
It might happen again. It might happen again.
Boston in 7.
You're saying Boston in 7?
Yeah.
With the way that they're playing, with the way that Toronto, it's so weird to me how they're trying to like mix and match. No Nylander. Okay. The storylines of this series. No William Nylander for the first, what, 2 or 3 games, if I'm not mistaken?
Three games with migraines.
With the first 3 games with migraines.
And let's put that in quotes, migraines, because we honestly don't really know what happens, because they just came out and said migraines. Yeah.
Yes. Jeremy Swayman sits game 2. That was the only game Toronto won at the time, and then everyone's like, oh, they got to stick with Swayman. There's the shouting match on the bench in game 4. And Boston just completely dominated them in game 4. We blink. Again, somehow this series is going to 7 with those 2 pivotal wins, one on the road, one at home, without your best player. Something's up.
And here's the thing for me is listen, for Toronto fans, like, this is really it for you. I think if this team doesn't make it to a cup final, and, you know, honestly, let's just go Eastern Conference final. I think this is it for them. I really think it's time for them to take a look in the mirror and be like, we got to blow this thing up because it hasn't worked. Obviously, there's some feud on the bench. I know this series has gone to 7, you know, it's at 7 now, but Boston hasn't been playing very well. I mean, where the hell is Charlie McAvoy, Ben? Where's Pastrnak, Ben? These guys aren't showing up. So you got to take a little bit of a grain of salt here on what, you know, really what's going on here, because both teams are kind of struggling a little bit. But I think Boston gets this done in 7, and I think we're looking at an offseason where a lot of these guys for Toronto just are going to become available.
They have to get rid of someone. I think
this Dubas era is starting to come to an end. I think no one's going to want to take Tavares' salary, so if you're going to want to move him, you're going to have to take, you know, retain at least 30-35% of that. And I don't know. I mean, the expandable guy here is Nylander and Marner. Marner's had a tough series. Do you really want to move him? There's a lot of questions here, but we're going to game 7. We'll see how this plays out. I think realistically, I mean, you could say, I mean, I might not be the only one here. I think you're agreeing with me. This team, it doesn't feel like a cup team at all. It feels like maybe second round and out.
This looks like a broken team.
Yeah. And I just think, listen, you get out of this series, you know, congratulations. You got swept last year in the second round. I think the same thing could happen to you again. So it's just,
who would they play? They would play Florida, right? Oh shit! Yeah.
So it's just
another series.
You got swept last year. It's just, I think they're gonna have to take a long, hard look in the mirror in this offseason and try and, you know, retool, because they do have the stars. You know, they've had the big name players for a while. It's just this hasn't worked out. This is you know what this feels a lot like? The Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, don't remind me. God, that was such a time. That was such a time. Austin Matthews going to
40 games they played together?
Is Austin Matthews going to purposely gain weight to get traded?
Yeah, it seems like he's already bickering on the bench and sitting out games anyway. So we're at that point.
We'll see. To the completed series, start off Colorado, Winnipeg, Avalanche take down the Jets in 5. That was a rough series for Connor Hellebuck. Really rough series.
Yeah, it was. But you know what? They weren't helping him. Let's be honest.
No, they weren't.
At all.
It felt like a confidence thing with Hellebuck, but at the same time, there's just so many names on the Avalanche, and you kind of just have to fucking shrug your shoulders and be like, well, they've two of the best players in the league in McKinnon and McCarr. You kind of just have to shrug your shoulders.
I think you can also say sort of the same thing here in the Tampa-Florida series. I mean, Florida wins in 5, but did Vasi really play that bad?
Not really. Not necessarily. So, although Tampa got hosed in game 5.
Yeah. They got hosed. Yeah, but I mean, once they, what? They were down 4-1. I mean, once they were out of it, they were out of it.
There were, I know, but there were like two goals that probably should have been goals that were called back.
No, you're right. You're right. But still, I mean, they had two empty netters at the end. It was just it. Listen, I as much as I do glaze Tampa just from, you know, prior memories and difficulties living through that. They do look a little worn down. And this was Stammer's last ride here. I don't think they have the cap money to bring him back. So it's gonna be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, this is a fresh guy in the market. I think. I know I'm getting a little antsy here because the Isles in the offseason is where my mind is, but yeah, I think we could see Stammer in Anaheim next year. I think this might be it for Tampa Bay too. I think Tampa Bay might be, you know, sort of taking a step back and thinking, listen, we got to make some moves here and kind of tool around some of these, you know, our aging core and see what they could do. I don't think they can offer Stammer, and I think he's going to get out of there. I think it's just a tough way for the Lightning to go out.
Ooh, baby, that might be... That's a hot one. That's definitely a hot take.
They got a lot of cap room. That guy could take $9 million anywhere.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Edmonton, LA. Oilers take down the Kings in 5. Shout out.
I was shocked.
Skinner. Shout out Stuart Skinner in game 4.
How the hell did they win? They had 13 shots on goal. How the hell did they win game 4? And the only goal they scored was a power play goal.
I have no clue. Absolutely no clue.
How many points does McDavid have in the playoffs? 12? Yeah, it's fucking... This guy's unfucking believable. 12 points in 5 games.
That's absurd. And Draisaitl behind him with 10.
Got 11 assists?
Yeah, like that's just fucking absurd.
He's just setting everyone up.
That is fucking absurd. Anyway, I believe... Who is that, Ronan?
Nah, he's my roommate, Matty Ice.
Anyway... The defense for Edmonton has definitely improved the series. I believe they went perfect on the PK, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I just... LA just looked flat. I mean, this was just... it just seemed kind of beat up, broken down.
It was boys against the men.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a little closer because this is like the fifth time that we've seen them play against each other, but it's the same outcome every single time, pretty much. And it's just... Edmonton gets it done. Now, I want to ask you this, because... You know, Stuart Skinner was decent, and, you know, they did have a good series goaltending. How does this look forward for them? What do you see them moving forward? Do you really see them moving on out of this Western Conference? Because, you know, they got teams
Do they beat Vancouver is what you're asking me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Honestly, I think Edmonton's got a shot. I'm going to say it. They got a shot. They have very realistic shot of winning the Western Conference.
Oh, okay. All right. So then, they do match up with a team against the Stars and Colorado. Do you like their chances?
I like their chances. If they're playing the way that they played against LA, blocking shots, being dominant on the penalty kill and the power play, I don't see anyone stopping them in the West. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, and I think maybe this is the year that we see McDavid kind of. I know could there even be another level that he steps up to?
I mean, let's all be honest here. He's got everything but the ring. Edmonton is going to win the Stanley Cup, but there's a realistic shot that they're representing.
Dude is at over two. He's at over 2 points per game right now in the playoffs. Absurd. Let's just put that in perspective. Yeah.
11 points in 5 games. That's absurd.
12. Sorry, he's got a goal with 11 assists. Yeah, exactly.
12 points. Excuse me.
Get rid of his goal. He still leads the playoffs in points with assists.
Absurd, just absolutely absurd. So Vancouver, Nashville, Dallas, Vegas tonight, Maple Leafs, Bruins tomorrow, and then the if necessary game 7s between Nashville, Vancouver, Vegas, and Dallas. If that happens, will be Sunday. Real quick, will there be handshake lines tonight? And so, I mean, there will be one on Saturday, no matter what. But
I don't know. I don't. You know what, Stan? This is so weird because the only series that I could see handshake lines being in tonight is Vegas, Dallas. I honestly see Nashville coming out on top here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I could see Joe Pavelski shaking hands with Jack Eichel tonight.
I really don't know. I'm truly like.
It's the beauty of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stan. You just don't know.
You don't know. You just don't know. moving on to the NBA. the New York Knicks take down the Sixers. If we did this episode on Wednesday, I'd be miserable. But here I am. Holy shit, man. That was hell. That was actually hell.
Yeah, every game was like a one-point game.
Every game was hell. Like that, let's all be honest here. Sunday, Brunson takes over. They should have won third. It was almost reminiscent of Reggie Miller in 94, where, let's all be honest here, there's a lead, they're like, okay, it's over. And then all of a sudden we're going to overtime or the game's over. And then they bounce back, win on the road. Shout out Josh Hart, man. Shout out Josh Hart.
If that boy could play a lick of offense, he would be up for MVP voting. But
someone said on Twitter, I forget who it was. I saw Josh Hart is the Carmelo Anthony of Draymond Green's. Like that's really
well. Now let me ask you this, because a lot of his game is reliant on high motor, just like Russell Westbrook's, but you know, reverse. How much longer do you think he can keep this up? Because he is. I mean, I hate to say it, Stan, but he is one of the worst offensive players I think I've seen play basketball in a very long time. I think he was like 0-for-5 from the field with 4 points, all from field goals, all from free throws. So my question to you is, how much longer does he have this in the tank? Just get 15 boards, 2 points, because I at some point, you know, you're 6'5", it's going to take a toll on your body. I don't know how much longer you keep doing that.
I understand that. I just think this dude's on a different level. Like, this guy's on a different level than everybody else.
God, if he could only shoot, you'd be your best player.
He hit a dagger three to win the game.
Yeah, the two games, you know, both games before that, he was like 1-for-7 combined.
Josh Hart with 16 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3-of-5 from three.
That's an improvement.
3-of-5 from three. Obviously, the rotation has been shortened due to Bojan Bogdanović being out for the rest of the playoffs.
That's another question I gotta ask you. How much longer can this short rotation last for the Knicks? Because if these series are gonna be all grit and grind games like this, where they're all playing 40 minutes a night.
I don't think the Indiana series is gonna be grit and grind. That team plays no defense.
Oh, but no, this is gonna be like 120. Who's gonna score most points? This is all it is gonna come down to.
Yeah. If we're able to shut down that Indiana offense, I have no problem. I think the Knicks have they have a chance of taking this in five, if I'm being honest.
You'll hopefully see Cleveland.
Imagine. Again, that would just, if you thought the first round series was going to break this podcast, wait until Knicks-Cavs, winner goes Eastern to the Conference NBA final. Finals.
Yeah.
Winner goes to the NBA Finals.
With Kristaps out, Stan, if we get out of this series, it's anyone's game.
And that's the thing. We'll get to Kristaps Porzingis, but God, I'm loving life right now. I'm loving life. Rangers in the second round. Knicks in the second round. Like this is what I've dreamed of my whole, like my parents told me about 1994. And I'm like, oh, what a time. What a time to be alive that was. And now here
we
are.
All right, congrats.
Here we are. You should see me now.
My life
you
stinks.
You should see me now. Tim, hey, come on. Francisco Lindor had a flu game.
Yeah, flu game. What, like the four before that when he went 0-for-5? Thanks, dude. Yeah, flu coming off the bench is what you needed. Dude, just hit. Why can't you just hit the ball like that every game? Dude, I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Sometimes I go up there, I watch him, and he's just swinging at sliders like 4 feet in the dirt. And I'm like, where'd you learn that, Javi Baez? I mean, we're paying you $300 million.
Unbelievable. Anyway, let's go to the first series that was in the books. Timberwolves sweep the Suns.
Suns just that just wasn't it. Just after game one, you knew it wasn't going to work out. It just wasn't going to work out.
Here's the thing: the era of the super team in the NBA is over. Over, done, finished.
At least super team in that aspect, it just having three ball dominant ball scorers. Yeah.
Here's the thing: the Suns in 2021 had Devin Booker. A rising star in Devin Booker, someone to build around. You had pieces to build around them. McCall Bridges, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton. And then you had the vet. I'm not here giving Chris Paul his flowers, but a veteran presence in Chris Paul.
And an actual point guard.
And an actual point guard, yes. You go to the NBA Finals, you lose. The next year, you go to seven with Dallas, and you get embarrassed in game seven, and then that just immediately hit the panic button.
Chris Paul hits a three to cut the dagger to 45. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If the Suns don't lose that game by like 50 or whatever the fuck that margin was, are we seeing the same Suns team that we're seeing now? Probably not.
No, we're not. And this just didn't work out.
Even when they traded for Bradley Beal, everyone was like, dude, this team has no depth. They're not going anywhere. No one like saw through it.
And what I'm about to say isn't any knock to Minnesota because they're a hell of a team. I mean, they're deep. They got pretty much every position you want, the perfect guy for what they're trying to accomplish. But this was like a cakewalk. I mean, this team, you could just play mediocre defense. If you could play mediocre, the Knicks would have won this in four. I mean, all you had to do was just play defense.
Yeah, really. That's literally all you had to do. But goodbye, Phoenix. And now there's rumors of Devin Booker getting traded because you can't pay Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant. You can't have Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker in the same payroll. You can't.
Yeah. Well, KD might be out. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Well, everyone was like, a Western Conference executive said that Kevin Durant to Miami is a possibility.
I don't know, man. That man just isn't traveling.
I don't see it either. Oklahoma City takes down the Pelicans. A good old sweep.
Not a
this
shock.
This team's good, man. This team's good.
Yeah, and in like, a Pelicans without Zion. I mean, this just was
Brandon Ingram. Love the guy, but my God.
This was just a, wow, I can't believe we made it type of thing.
Can't believe we made it. Exactly. Oklahoma City takes on the winner of the Clippers-Mavs series, but the Denver Nuggets take down the Lakers in a good old gentleman sweep. Jamal Murray does it again.
He is arguably the most, I don't want to say clutch, but when it comes down to playoff time, that guy just turns it on to another level. You want him on your team.
Yeah, you want him to have the ball in your hands.
I checked it. There's a metric, and I saw someone break down a video on this of players that I don't know how they keep this stat, but it's like compared to the regular season, players that, you know, elevate their game come playoff time. And for the last century, Rondo was like way ahead of the pack. You know, not century, but decade was way ahead of the pack. Yeah. And you look at it now, Jamal Murray is light years ahead of him in production. I mean, this guy just shows up when it matters every single time. That two-man punch is unbelievable.
He's a good player.
And I got to ask you a question now, Stan.
Yes.
I'm a LeBron guy. You're on the fence now. What happens going forward? What happens going forward with this Lakers team? Where does he end? I mean, I don't really know what to expect what the Lakers are going to look like going into next season. So where do you think this whole LeBron fiasco ends up?
A part of me thinks that he's going to go, but at the same time, a part of me is like, he's going to stay because it's just like LeBron.
Yeah,
of course,
he's going to make
some like public thing.
Yeah, and let's just give him his flowers. I mean, man's 40 years old. He had 33 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, he was unbelievable.
I don't know what – I'm kind of just playing the waiting game and then just being like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Because in all honesty right now, any team that LeBron – I mean, unless he's going to like – unless he's staying with the Lakers and for as long as Darvin Ham is the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Jesus Christ, that guy's out of here.
He's got to go.
That's the worst head coach in the entire association.
I agree 100%. He is the worst. Is he going to be higher if they fire him?
No. JJ Redick. I saw that. Yeah, I actually did see that. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, and I mean,
It would kind of be sad because I love everything that he puts. I love him on ESPN. I love his podcast. So if the Old Maiden 3 goes, I'm going to be pretty upset.
We just know how this is going to work, though. If JJ's the head coach, LeBron's the assistant, and it's the two-man duo there.
Yeah.
You know what? They're at a point now where
have a show together.
Yeah, you know what, Stan? They're at this point where it's just to keep him happy for his last few years because he is 40 years old, but he's still top 10, 15 player in the NBA. I mean, the fact that he's 40 years old, and it's unbelievable.
And doing this, yep. The Celtics moving on. Yeah, Celtics take down the Heat. Yeah.
I can't even believe the Heat won a game. I can't.
It's honestly impressive that they won a game, if I'm being honest.
Eric Spoelstra, somebody's got it. That man is just Jeez, if I could play for that man, I would. You know what? We would have been solid with me. He's got some sort of scheme going on over there. It's unbelievable.
I don't know what the hell they're doing over there, but it's over for now. But at the same time, no Porzingis. We don't know how long he's out for. I remember someone saying that it's similar to the Giannis injury. So maybe he'll be.
Bro's a pane of glass, Stan. If he comes back, he's going to re-aggravate it in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know what to think. In all honesty, we have to see who they play first. And yeah. Then I'll. Because if they're playing the Cavs, I don't know how Jared Allen's health will be put into effect there, but
he's out for a game. He's fine. They won.
He's fine, and they won.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Hey, a win's a win.
All right, yeah, fair enough. But
come on, y'all barely won game two.
Shut up. Anyway, how would Mobley and Allen match up with Horford and Porzingis?
You know what?
Like, I don't know.
It's a very interesting Horford-Allen matchup. It's the Horford-Allen matchup, honestly, for me. That's where I'm like... It's how well Jared Allen can space the floor defensively. It's how good he will be at, you know, closing out the shot while also maintaining the paint. Because their defense all year has been... I mean, that's been their best part of their game. They've been one of the best defensive teams. I think the second best net defensive rating in the entire NBA all season long. So that's their staple. They could stick to that defense, and he could somewhat, you know, close out the shot. Because... they did beat Boston. I think they had a winning record against Boston in the season series this year. Or it was either tied. Maybe they went 1-2 or something, but I know they beat them.
They beat them without Donovan Mitchell. They beat them March 5th.
Someone huge was playing.
That was without Donovan Mitchell, yes. Donovan Mitchell. Allen with 21-12. Dean Wade with 23 off the bench.
That boy was strapping that game. I remember that. He didn't miss a three.
1-0. Where's Boston?
It's probably 1-2. Where's Boston?
Yes, it is. It is 1-2 against the Celtics all year. But the one win was without Donovan Mitchell. So there's your silver lining. Let's go to the other series that was completed last night. Pacers Bucks. I mean, was there ever any? I feel like once Dame and Giannis went out, it was
over.
Dame comes back last night.
Even with him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, dude. I'm so happy that a Doc Rivers team did not make it past the first round.
Stan, without Giannis, this Bucks team just looks like the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, you're right. you're right. It felt like two in game four, where. No Dame, no Giannis. Your main scorer is Bobby Portis, and he's ejected by the first quarter. And now, who are you relying on? You're trying to turn Brook Lopez into his version of when he was with the Nets in like 2008. Like, there's really
And at that point, he didn't even shoot the three, which is one of his best attributes, which is like the best thing he does now.
He was a rim protector. He was literally a rim protector. That's one of the biggest transformations I've ever seen.
Oh my! What, talk about molding to the, you know, sticking around in the NBA, because you see a lot of these other centers, like, I mean, Andre Drummond and guys like who, you know, you were all stars
when he got to the league. Now all of a sudden he does.
Look at all these all star guys back in the day, like Drummond and all that. You know, they just couldn't adapt to a 3-point style, and now they're all coming off the bench. But a guy like Brook Lopez figures out the three, and look where he is.
Unbelievable. Let's go to the series tonight. Tim, your Cavs, game six in Orlando.
Shut down Paolo. That's it.
There's your thing. Clippers, Mavs. Mavs have a chance to close it out at home tonight. Favored by 7.5. 7.5.
I have no idea how this is going to go.
7.5. I think Dallas takes care of business, if I'm being honest.
I'm not against it.
Dallas takes care of business.
I just want to see Paul George win something. Am I the only guy? Like, I got a love for Paul George a little bit. Like, I know he was, you know, on the Pacers with the Knicks and whatever back in the day, but he really hasn't won anything. And, like, come on. That guy's, you know, smoothest player I've watched in a while.
I remember, do you remember, was it 2 years ago when the Clippers were in the play-in? And it was like no one had like ever tested positive for COVID all year. And then all of a sudden you blink and like Paul George is like missing a must-win play-in game because he tested positive for COVID.
It's just he's just had the worst luck.
I don't know. There will be a series on Saturday that will just be starting Denver and Minnesota. Denver's favored by 5.5.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a fun series. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, I don't...
Anthony Edwards has become must-see TV.
I think matchup-wise, like a huge problem for the Lakers in that series is Michael Porter Jr., right? And now you got a guy like Jared Vanderbilt who could shut him down. And you look
McDaniels.
At... Yeah, Jamie McDaniels, sorry, yeah. I don't just think of Jared Vanderbilt, same build, but yeah. You got KD, we got Jay McDaniels. But yeah, you got exactly. A guy like Jay McDaniels who can kind of shut him down and slow him down. You know, Rudy Gobert is a... As much as he is like probably most overrated player in the league, he's still a great defender.
Still a great Cat's defender,
gonna,
yeah.
Yeah, Cat's going to stretch it at the four. And those two guys up front, Mike Conley holding it down and the way Ant's been playing, yeah, I could see them winning. But we're going to go back to it. Jamal Murray just shows up every single time it matters. And this team, it seems like you even saw it in the Lakers game, they don't have to have the lead for the majority of the game. They'll just keep it close till the fourth and then shut you down. They'll do it every single time. And I think... Yeah, I can't. Nuggets in six. I can't. There's no. Okay. I mean, Nuggets in six. I just don't see them losing. I don't. I can't. I can't see them losing. Jokic is unfucking believable.
I think this goes to seven. I don't know who wins it though. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah. This series is gonna go to seven.
I can see it.
It's going to seven. Anything else? I mean, I think the only completed series in the East is the Knicks and the Pacers. So, yeah. Game sevens, if the Magic and Clippers win tonight, will be on Sunday. Then, yeah, that's all we got from the NBA, at least I think, unless I'm missing something.
No, it's all from the association.
Oh, wonderful. Major League Baseball. This... I'm just going to say it. The Yankees are a weird team, man.
Yeah, dude. How the hell do they have 20 wins? I don't. What? Aaron Judge sucks right now. Oh, absolutely yeah. Sucks.
This is they a weird fucking team. I don't know what to say about this. Because, like, one game, they're looking like. Look at the Milwaukee series. You could put up 15 runs on Saturday and Sunday. 15 runs in each game, Saturday, Sunday. You go to Baltimore, and then it's like they completely forgot how to hit the ball. And nonetheless, also, they also don't know how to field the ball. And somehow this team is 20 wins.
Dude, I don't get it.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what to think, because I haven't really, like, I'll be honest, I haven't really watched much Yankee games as of late because of...
Yeah, obviously the Knicks.
Because of the Knicks and the Rangers and all the other playoff games going on. This is just weird. Like, I don't even know, like, what to think of it. It's just so weird to me how this team is 20 wins, but, like, everyone's... You look on Twitter, it's like we have 10, in all honesty.
Yeah, you're just finding ways to win. I mean, I don't get it either.
I don't understand. Like, I really don't. And don't get me wrong, I'm more than happy that the Yankees are the first team to 20 wins, but just with the way that they've played this series, it's disgusting. Like, it's...
Yeah. Hey, it's early. Get it out of the way early.
I know it's early, but like it was already revealed that Garrett Cole's targeting a mid-June return, so that's great. I honestly thought he was coming back after the All-Star break. If he's coming back mid-June, I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly okay with that. Then there's, I mean, the rotation's been all right. Luis Gil had a great outing against Baltimore on, what was it, Wednesday? Yeah. 1-2-0, but you're not going to win games by putting up two runs all the time. This offense kind of needs to wake up a little bit, if I'm being honest. I know we didn't have Verdugo because he was on the paternity list. Speaking of Verdugo, he's been on fire.
Yeah. That's a great pickup for you guys.
They moved him to the cleanup spot. He's been raking I know we batted six yesterday because they wanted to get him like acclimated to coming back, but Boone said he's hitting cleanup tonight. So that's perfectly fine with me. You're back home against the Tigers. That's a series you got to win. You just got to keep winning series. That's my thing. Like, I'm not expecting, like, big time. Like, not like we're just going to fucking dominate you. go 2 out of 3, go 3 out of 4, and I'll be doing backflips if we get a sweep. All I'm saying is, once Garrett Cole comes back, and keep in mind, Jason Dominguez still waiting in the wings, coming off of Tommy John surgery. So who's going to be the odd man out now that Verdugo's been having this great season so far?
You don't. At least you don't got a lot of question marks. There ain't a lot of guys hitting. You just pick anyone out of. Okay, you're taking the day off.
Yeah.
You're taking the day off. We're just going to hit Dominguez.
It might be Giancarlo, if I'm being honest. They might have Dominguez DH and not like hurt his throwing elbow.
What's the harm? Giancarlo's batting what, 140? I mean,
he's been terrible. Like he's not good. He's not good anymore. No. He hasn't been good. Judge has been anything but good. It's, I don't know. And then now Marcus Stroman's on the mound tonight.
You're gonna hate him. I'm telling you.
I'm not gonna hate. No. There have been games where he's been like really good. And then there's other games where he's kind of been.
Give it to the All-Star break. I watched it happen. I watched it happen in New York, and then I watched it happen in Toronto. His arm just falls off.
I'm gonna have faith in Marcus Stroman. I'm gonna have faith. I'm not gonna lose faith in him because I like him. I like Marcus Stroman a lot. I think he's.
I like him too. I loved him when he pitched. I saw him throw 7 scoreless for the Mets, and then I also saw him after the All-Star break let up like 9 runs. So I mean, I just on a medium.
I don't know. I'm a bit. Whose rotation we got? Rodon. Like Rodon did not look good.
No,
he did not look good. Coming off of a great performance in Milwaukee, I was like, oh shit, this is him pitching in Milwaukee. I was like, this is the Carlos Rodon that we signed up for. Him striking. How many strikeouts did he have? He had like 11 strikeouts.
I want to say like that.
Rodon. No, Stroman pitched Sunday. Rodon pitched Saturday. There it is. Rodon, 8 strikeouts and only gave up 1 run.
That's good day to me.
That's the Rodon we want. And then he looked like hot shit yesterday. I don't know. It's this Yankee team is just very weird. It's a weird team. It's a
Mets
very weird team.
Mets team is pretty much exactly what I expected.
You go to the Mets.
Sevy goes, what, 8 innings, 1 run, and Edwin Diaz comes in the 9th, lets 7 no-hit, 8 innings, 1 run, and then, it was 8 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, and then you bring in Edwin Diaz to close it out, he lets up a 2-run home run. Yeah, pretty much sounds like a DeGrom start to me. I don't know, man. I knew the pitching couldn't sustain what it started like, but I didn't think it'd fall off like it did. I know Quintana's been great, but guys like Butto and I don't know. There's so many other guys that just, I mean, think of Adrian Hauser. How much more could that guy pitch? Really? Let's be honest.
He's got to go.
And you know
he's
what? They did make a right move. They get rid of Michael Tonkin. Yankees pick him up. Does exactly what he did for us. Blows it in the 9th. The extra innings.
Who the fuck is this guy?
He's the worst. He's the worst. You'll love him. He's just the worst.
Get rid of him.
You should. Dude. It took the Mets like a week and a half to realize he's terrible.
Didn't he come back? The Mets got rid of him, got picked up by the Twins, and then got dropped by the Twins, picked up by the Mets, and then the Mets dropped him again.
He cannot pitch. I mean, he just can't pitch. I mean, it's just simple as that.
That was the most like frustrating thing about the Milwaukee series, is that loss on Friday. Bringing that guy in and not having Holmes go 2 innings, that's what I just don't understand.
You hear the name Michael Tonkin, you think the game's over, and it's not for you. It's for the other team. They just won.
I don't understand Michael Tonkin. I really don't. And then there was one more thing that I noticed. Oh, yeah. So the people that are like, Clay Holmes has been the best closer in baseball so far this year. The best closer.
I mean, before Diaz let up his home run, it was questionable, but yeah, continue.
All right.
I mean, he had a 0.85 ERA with like saves.
Fair, but Clay Holmes hasn't given up a run.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And his one technically blown save was in extra innings when his infield couldn't fucking field the ball. So
what's new?
Pick up a ground ball.
Might be the worst. I'm sorry. That left side of your infield might be the worst defensive left side in the entire major leagues with Gleyber Torres and Anthony Rizzo. It's just.
I just.
I guess right side if you're looking, whatever, but
right side, you know, I know what you mean, yeah. But there's, I don't know, it's just stupid little mistakes. And now we're not having LeMahieu for a while now because he was sore from his rehab assignment, which honestly, I'm kind of fine with.
Do you really want him back? I mean, this dude's like 35. He can't move.
I'd rather have a switch hitter in the lineup than a righty, if I'm being honest.
Hey, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Come on, let's all be honest here.
The Mets are missing Alvarez's bat so much.
Yeah. So much. Mets go to have a 6-game road trip. They go to the Trop tonight, and then go to Busch Stadium. 6:50. What a weird start time.
I don't know. Are they going to win? You know what, Stan? Are they going to win tonight? I have no idea.
Tampa hasn't really been that good. The Magic might be dead.
Yeah, well, It is so hard to bounce back when something like that happens to your star player. Or not something like that happens, sorry. When your star player does something as stupid as that.
What happened to Wander Franco happens all the time.
Yeah, that don't happen. That should never happen. And when someone does something, when someone does something so stupid like that, it's so hard to bounce back, especially from what you did last year. It's just, I don't know. I don't see the Rays really getting much done this year.
Yeah, Yankees take on the Tigers this weekend.
That's got to be
Stroman,
a win.
Stroman, Schmidt, and Cortez. We take on Tarek Skubal on Sunday. He's looking like the Cy Young winner.
You were
You got the
AL. I got the NL.
Who'd you have for NL?
Zach Wheeler.
No, but Ranger Suarez has been looking pretty good though.
I don't know. That 1-2 punch of Wheeler Nola has been.
Let's see. Ranger Suarez pitching. Second in ERA. You know who's first?
Who?
Shota Imanaga.
Dude, you know, I did know that. He is unbelievable. He's got like a 0.9. That guy is unbelievable.
0.78. I love this guy. I fucking love Imanaga. I told you, I loved this Cubs team going into the year. I didn't think Imanaga was going to have this big of impact.
No, he's actually unbelievable.
Justin Steele fucked up his hamstring opening day. You're thinking, oh, fuck, who's going to be the number one guy in this rotation now that he's out for a month? Here comes fucking Shota Imanaga.
Better than Yoshiba. Guy.
This fucking
better, than, better than Yamamoto.
Yamamoto, yeah. Yamamoto's actually like kind of bounced back though.
No 0.7.
He's no 0.7.
I pulled up. I just got Zach Wheeler's stats. Zach Wheeler's got a 1.9 with 54 Ks.
52.
Oh, 52. Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. What am I looking at? 54.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't even him.
Yep. yeah. But this. Yeah.
He's got a 0.92 whip.
Shota Imanaga. God damn. Also, I know Clay Holmes has looked like the best closer in baseball, but I'd be stupid to not mention this fucking Mason Miller kid.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Where has he come from? Where did he come from, number one? Number two, why is he on the Oakland A's?
Well, there's like, something else.
That's insane. And
the fact the A's are 15-17 with like Esteri Ruiz just chilling in the minor leagues.
Better. No, he's back now. Ruiz is back now, I think, yeah. But they're better than the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros stink. Oh, my God. Stan, how can we forget this? Can Mike Trout ever catch a fucking break?
I was going to bring that up. Is it sad that I saw this coming?
We all saw it coming, but dude had 10 homers. Yeah. Like, he led the league in homers. He was going to hit like 60, 70 bombs this year.
Like, this kind of looked like, I was like, okay, like, this might be the fully healthy Trout that we've all been waiting for. And then,
not playing.
How can you be an Angel fan? Like, that's my question. Like, how do you sleep at night?
Anthony Rendon alone would make me burn my jerseys.
Like, that's like the worst thing about being, like, your terrorist owner being like, okay, I'm selling the team, and then backing out last minute. That's exactly happened.
Yeah, they're
That's
just
exactly what happened with the Angels. Arte Moreno was going to sell the team, and then he was like, never mind.
There's something else.
I'd kill myself.
No, literally, I mean, I'd be devastated.
Oh my god.
Take a trip around the league. Yeah, the Guardians are 20-11. And now, did you expect this? They're 5-5 in the last 10, yeah.
Look at the Royals. Yeah.
19-13. Only 1.5. I mean, look at the Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers, they look good.
And the Twins, they're all like one game apart.
Yeah, the Central, aside from the White Sox.
Oh my God, are they just the worst team ever? Are they? Oh my! If I was a Chicago White Sox fan right now, I don't even know if I watch another game for the rest of the year. I really don't know if I would. What are you gaining from this?
We need to make a list of like teams that if I were a fan of, I would just kill myself, and they are on that list.
They're number one. I mean, they are just horrible.
They might be number one. They might. I don't know. I think the Angels.
Stan, if you have a Stan, you got a worse record than the Rockies. You got problems. All right.
That's fair. That's fair. I know you got problems, but if you have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and not have a playoff record to show it,
all right, that's fair. But I mean, the White Sox are 1-13 on the road. So yeah, you catch them away, I think you got a good shot.
Got a good shot. Honest. Whatever happens, happens. But God damn, how dude, terrible are they?
It's just, oh my God.
And I thank God, every fucking day that we did not re-sign Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah.
Because my God, he's been terrible.
I mean, their team is just horrendous.
I think if I honestly pull up the Baseball Savant page of Andrew Benintendi, let's just count how many blue dots there'll be. Honestly, it might be gray at this point.
They're just, I can't even, hold on, let me see their stats. Because they're just,
oh my God.
Yeah, Gavin Sheets leads the team, batting .267. I think the next guy is like .230.
He is in the 9th percentile of batting run value and 3rd percentile of fielding run value. His ex-Boba is in the 27th percentile. That's awful.
Yeah, I mean, he's batting 200 with 22 strikeouts.
He hits the ball hard 11% of the time. 11%. It gets even better. It gets even better. Whiff rate. Whiff percentage, 77. The 77th percentile. And he doesn't even walk either. That's what makes it even worse.
He's got a .0. Yeah, walks per plate appearance, 0.035%.
Yeah. His fielding is outs above average, negative -2. Negative -2 in arm value. He can't throw. He can't do anything.
He's more likely to strike out than he is to walk, just to put that in perspective. Like, when he gets up, he's more likely to strike out than he is to do anything else.
He can't do anything.
And I mean that, like, literally, like getting up to the plate, like, your best bet on him is to bet on him to strike out. Like, that is your best bet.
Yeah.
Because right now, he's striking out 20% of the time.
Do they play tonight? White Sox? I would assume so. It's a Friday night.
Yeah, yes, I mean, they do. Let's lock it in.
Andrew Benintendi, first plate appearance, strikeout.
That's the best bet of the day. I mean, he literally is striking out 20% of the time. That is just a fact. Like, batting average and his strikeout percentage are the same. So he is more likely, is just as likely to get a hit as he is to strike out. Just to put that in perspective.
It's like -200. Can you imagine that?
I don't even, and this isn't even like get out. Like, we're not talking just like ground out. Like, I'm literally talking, he is just as likely to strike out as he is to get a hit.
I don't think FanDuel has a prop like that. Benintendi.
And the crazy thing is, Stan, how horrible he is, he leads his team in RBIs.
No.
13.
Oh my God.
They batted in 81 runs this year. He's got 13 of them. Gavin Sheets is second with 11. I mean, Jesus.
That's ridiculous. God.
13 RBIs.
That's fucking hilarious. I can't believe that. That's insane. Anything else from baseball before we go to...
It's not even like their pitching's been good either.
No, it like, hasn't. Like,
Flexen's been terrible, Mets legend.
Yeah, that's
Soroka's been horrible.
Mike Soroka. Oh, God.
Crochet's been terrible.
He's actually been all right, though, I thought. He had a good start to the year.
He's got a 5.97.
Never mind. He had a very good start to the year. I guess not anymore.
No.
Where, Crochet, 1-4. Eric Fetty. Oh, that's a guy they signed from like Korea. Like the American 2-0. That they signed from Korea. Yeah, 2-0. Everybody else has been.
He's got a 2-6.
Everybody else has just been a disaster. Did they move Michael Kopech to the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a guy on this team who's like a consistent pitcher, at least out of the pen, that has, other than him, under a 3-3 or 3-3-8.
That's insane. This team won their division.
It's crazy.
3 seasons ago.
It's crazy.
Practically the same lineup.
Yeah.
Or the same core. Not the same lineup, but the same core of guys with Jimenez and Robert.
Take Tim Anderson back. See what the difference is. I mean, I'm sure you might win one more game.
Moncada. I mean, if you want a bright spot, Tommy Pham.
He's only had like 30 at bats.
375. He's got a 958 OPS.
How many bats do you have?
20. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But bro,
I thought he's been on the team for like.
Bro's barely been playing. The whole year. No, they got so many problems.
I didn't even notice
that guy loves badmouth in the Mets. Yeah, that man loves badmouth in the Mets, which I get because, like, you know, there's things that definitely happen internally. Yeah, but God, like, how do you badmouth the Mets and then go sign with a 6-25 team and you're just like, yeah, we're about to change history. Like, you guys suck.
Unbelievable. We got a Braves Dodgers series tonight.
Tonight. Two of the best teams at baseball. I mean, the Braves are the best record at 20-9. Dodgers are 20-13.
It's not even the Sunday night game, Tim. It's not even what the Sunday night game. It's going to be Giants-Phillies in Philadelphia.
Well, Phillies are 21-11, so, I mean, that's another team that you got to...
Phillies look good. Phillies, everyone was kind of waiting for the slow start because they always start the year slow, and then all of a sudden, second half comes around, they pick it up. No, this is the complete opposite.
No, this is exactly who we saw them be, you know, last year, 2 years ago in the playoffs, going into play. I mean, this is just what you expect from them now going forward. This is
and
just
they
who
they
are.
They did not have a good start. They did not have a good start to the year either. I mean, I know we're talking about like slow starts, but you lose 2 out of 3 to Atlanta to start. You lose 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati. Yeah, you beat Washington. And then they kind of just started slowly chipping away, winning, splitting series.
Their rotation's been great.
Let's all be honest here. They kind of got lucky with the schedule.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have been playing great teams.
They went from the splitting with the Pirates to sweeping the Rockies and then sweeping the White Sox.
I don't know what their team ERA at home is, like something ridiculous.
And isn't no Bryce Harper had a kid? Sorry, I thought Bryce Harper was hurt. He wasn't.
He had like a 1.80 ERA at home or something crazy.
And again, Castellanos hasn't really been the best. Alec Bohm has been on fire. He's hitting 362.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys in that line. It's like the same thing with the Braves, like Michael Harris. He had a down year last year. There's 9 other guys, 8 other guys in that lineup that are going to bat 300, so why does it matter?
Exactly. Castellanos hasn't really had the big year that people expect. I'm sure he'll pick that up.
Wait for one natural disaster. That man's going to bat like 300 for a whole week.
Like I said, the best therapy is a nice beer at the ballpark. We all need it.
I need the Mets to make the playoffs somehow.
So you need the Mets to make the playoffs. Unbelievable. Good one. Good one. Moving on to what I saw. Tim, we are one day away from the Kentucky Derby, and it's the best Saturday in sports. The first Saturday in May is always the best Saturday in sports. You can't convince me otherwise.
Big day. You know what, tomorrow, Stan? Kentucky Derby, guess what else I got? Going to Syracuse Crunch. Amherst game 4 in Syracuse to watch him again. That's what I saw yesterday. I went to an Amherst Crunch playoff game and it was just unbelievable. For an AHL arena, they packed the barn with 3,000 fans. It was loud. Stan, let me tell you, it was loud. You couldn't hear anything. So if you were on the ice, you really couldn't hear anything. They are passionate fans. I had a great time at that game. I cannot wait to go back tomorrow.
You're going back tomorrow? How much are the tickets?
Free. My buddy's dad is like the GM of their team.
Yeah. Holy shit.
My buddy's dad's got 2 Stanley Cup rings.
With who?
Tampa.
Ah. Oh, it's the Tampa affiliate?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I've seen the rings. I wouldn't put them on or touch them because they had Isles 4-2, 4-3 engraved in them, and I just couldn't.
How could you?
Good conscious, you know, pick that up.
Wow. Wait until Ice Dog hears this.
He's already heard it.
He's already heard it. you put on those rings, you don't even bother coming home.
I looked at him and I go, I'm good. And he was like, you don't want to try them on? I go, I don't even want to touch those things. Like, you don't understand how much pain that brings me.
Oh my God. Why would I? Yeah, what I. Kentucky Derby's tomorrow. That's what I saw. Kentucky Derby. I'm very excited. Mystic Dan. I feel like there's two horses I'm going to ride. Mystic Dan, because duh. And then.
Because duh. Who was the one we picked? Name. What was the one that I said was like plus, what did I say was like plus 450, like plus 650 or something?
I gotta find it, Kentucky Derby. It wasn't Sierra Leone. He's like the second favorite.
What's like a plus 700, 600 horse?
Where are the horses?
Catching Freedom. Yeah, I think that was the one we picked.
Catching Freedom, 8-1. There's two Japanese horses. If it rains,
you never know.
You never know. Oh, there's a horse named West Saratoga.
Catching Freedom for the win.
I need Mystic Dan at 20-1. Might be the one. Might have to be. Also, other one I saw. We're riding a few. So I completely forgot about this. The Euros are this summer.
Oh, yeah.
France. That's my future. France to win the Euros.
Heard it here first.
France to win the... Somehow England's favored. I don't know how. Somehow England's favored.
Give me the Netherlands by a long shot.
That's a good... Actually, I saw the odds the other day. Let me pull them up.
They're probably like in the sit in like a plus 800 range, but I actually kind of like the Netherlands to take it.
The Netherlands is good. Let's see. Euros. England at plus 300 favored. Then we got France at plus 340. Germany plus 550. Spain 800. Portugal 800. Belgium. Netherlands plus 1600.
I like it.
That means. Oh, I was going to pull your Rory joke at the Masters.
If you put $100, you lose $100.
If you put $100 on Rory McIlroy to win the Masters, you lose $100. You lose $100. Hang on. God. Yeah, France plus 340 might be the move.
Heard it here first. There you go.
Heard it. Yes, you did. Trying to figure other stuff out. Also UConn, fuck you, just stop picking up good players in the transfer portal.
And the mayor of Carolina, fuck you. I mean, what why are you tweeting about the Isles? Fuck you.
Fuck Carolina for restricting who can purchase what tickets.
Sounds like Tampa to me.
Fuck you. Yep, exactly. Fuck UConn. Sorry, but I'm Big Dan Hurley guy.
Fuck the Magic. Fuck the Pacers. Fuck the Celtics.
Fuck Philly.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all. Hope they all. Never mind. Don't say that. I had to stop myself. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video. Be sure to like our videos. Subscribe to our YouTube. Leave a comment on our YouTube. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars
only. Rangers game one Sunday. Knicks game one on Monday. See you guys Tuesday for recaps of the playoffs. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Kentucky Derby
as well. Peace out.